You're listening to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 125, for the week of April 27th, 2011.
The Experience Points Podcast. I'm George Alborn.
My name's Scott Juster.
And we're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games and culture. And once every 100,000 years or so, us Earth Realmers...
Yes, the portal to the Nether Realm.
To the Nether Realm and the... What is it? What is the other one called?
Outworld. Yeah, Outworld.
And we engage in Mortal Kombat. Yeah, well, it's maybe not 100,000 years, but it's been almost 20 years since the launch of the first Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, 1992.
Last week saw the release of the latest Mortal Kombat. I think it's just called Mortal Kombat.
It is, yeah, Mortal Kombat.
So it's a game reboot, basically, mm-hmm. The very first. And we got a chance to play it, beat the shit out of one another, get some heads ripped off, do some fatalities.
The huge,
you know. And so we thought we would take this opportunity to talk about the game a bit.
Yeah.
So before we get into that, what is your experience with the franchise of Mortal Kombat? Do you have a lot of fond memories of the first game?
I mean, definitely for me, it's weird to think about. It's such a long time ago, but yeah. I mean, the minute you pick up the control, it all starts kind of flooding back, like how to do... Because it's so different. MK is so different from other fighting games. Like, it just feels a bit different. I played MK1 and MK2 quite a bit.
Yeah.
I feel like the last one I played was maybe MK3, and then things just really went off the rails. Like, I probably hadn't seriously played an MK game since the Super Nintendo Genesis era.
Yeah. You know? I don't think people really took Mortal Kombat seriously after MK3. I guess the DC one was pretty...
Yeah.
People liked it.
People liked that one, and I think it was pretty... I don't know how well it was received in the fighting game community or whatever, but I mean, it was definitely a high-profile release.
Yeah.
Much more than, like, the other kind of weird Mortal Kombat that had come out in the interim.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely have more experience than I do, because when we started playing Versus, you started doing, like, oh, how do I do his bicycle kick, for example, like Kung Lao or something. And I played a lot of Mortal Kombat, but never to the point where I could recall moves today of characters I used, you know, like 15 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, there's just some characters that are iconic for me and for people that played those original games. Like you were just talking about Liu Kang's fireball moves. I remember that he had... a high fireball and low fireball, and like Raiden has that cross screen, spear attack like that. Kind of like flies at someone, and it's just great to see that stuff come back. And so all that starts flooding back, and
all the memories,
all those violent video game memories. I don't know. So have you played, I mean, obviously everyone has played Mortal Kombat, but I mean,
did
you just play it in the arcades?
Yeah, I played it in the arcades. My friend had it. So, you know, I've never been good at fighting games, so it's never been something I relish.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to fighting games, the ones that I hold most dear are like Soul Calibur, Super Smash Brothers, if you can call it that.
I mean, Super Smash Brothers has one of the like most dedicated, serious groups.
Yeah,
that, you know,
definitely. Yeah.
So I mean, there's these little pockets of fighting game aficionados that you don't really hear from until a new game comes out, and then you kind of like delve back into that place. Is that? I mean, why were you interested in this game in the first place?
Yeah, I heard some people talk about it as entertaining. A couple people had called it, had said it's like a fighting game for people who don't like fighting games,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of resonates with me. I do enjoy the occasional fighting game. I'm just not good at them. Mm-hmm. And so the appeal of something that has that sort of that same mythology and the nostalgia from Mortal Kombat, but is easier to pick up today, is really appealing. I mean, to be fair, one of the reasons is I wasn't getting anything else through Gamefly. I figured I might as well get Mortal Kombat. But, you know, there is an appeal there that does stem from the sort of spirit of the game back in the day. Mm-hmm. And do you think that it delivered on that?
I mean, for me, it's great to see Street Fighter IV come out and Mortal Kombat come out, because it kind of feels like we've gone back to 1993, and like, all of a sudden fighting games are popular again, and like, you know, some of the highest quality games, like in the early 90s, fighting games were the first person shooters of today.
Yeah,
I mean, so you know, you'd have
everyone was playing them,
and everyone was making them too. You'd have weird fighting games like Primal Rage and like awesome. Clay Fighter. Like, I mean, it's now like the equivalent of a company churning out a crappy first-person shooter today would be the equivalent of in the early 90s them churning out a crappy fighting game.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, MK and Street Fighter were always like the pinnacle of what was going on. They were the Halo and Call of Duty of, you know, that situation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I am really happy to see it go back to the 2D roots. Forget all about that three-dimensional dodging garbage, like, and, like, weird 3D arenas and, like, all kinds of mess about that. Like, this is why I like playing fighting games.
This is Mortal Kombat, one might say.
This is Mortal Kombat. And plus, I mean, you know, all the weird thing is I recognized almost all of the characters.
Yeah, every single one. Yeah. I was expecting a lot of new characters, but they did not even bother.
Yeah.
And most of the characters are playable from the get-go. There's only a few unlockables. I remember maybe it was like MK3 or something, but ridiculous number of unlockable characters. Mm-hmm. Way over the top.
And I can't say the same thing about Street Fighter. Like, I pull up the Street Fighter roster and I have no idea who I'm looking at besides, like, Honda, Guile, Ryu, you know? Like,
and I think by minimizing the amount of characters you can play, they really got the balance right.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt that, you know, certain characters were good at certain styles of combat, and you'd have to adjust depending on who you're playing, but it felt relatively balanced to me as we played.
Yeah, and I mean, this is coming from two people that don't really know all that much about
fighting games. Right, we're not, this isn't pro status over here. Yeah.
I'll be interested to see if this, like, shows up at, like, the big fighting game tournaments, like Evo, or any of the other ancillary groups of people that really take the time to, like, rank characters, like how many tiers of characters there are, you know, who are, like, the tournament level characters versus just the joking characters or whatever.
Well, we were talking a bit while we were playing about some of the characters being really interesting and showing a lot of depth that you and I could not reach, you know, like Noob Saibot has these sort of forward, middle, and far back portals. Cyber Sub-Zero can drop little frozen bombs that will explode later as opposed to immediately, and it adds a sort of complexity that I would be really interested in watching very skilled players use those characters in combat in interesting ways, and I'm sure it's out there.
And I mean, online, you know, you can kind of run into people every once in a while, but it's hard to put in the amount of time on all of the characters in order to figure out the balance of it all. But it is, I mean, like, Mortal Kombat is always, like, for someone that, I also played a lot of Street Fighter back in the 90s, and it feels a lot different, you know, like, the moves are, everything's a bit more deliberate.
Yeah.
You know, like, the moveset is relatively similar across all characters, like, they all have a fireball thing, they all have a dash thing.
Yeah, and nearly everyone has, a portal to just appear somewhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of warping, but it's not a very fast game. You know, there's a lot of kind of feinting and, like, parrying back and forth. It's not like Marvel versus Capcom or something.
Yeah,
we have, like, you know, 7,000 hit combos or something. Like, a huge deal in MK is when you get, like, a 5-hit combo.
Yeah, yeah, that's incredibly rare. Yeah, 4 hits is the norm, with most of being, like, 2 or 3. You
know? Yeah.
For us, at least.
Yeah. we tried to do some YouTube research, and it doesn't look like people, you know, it's not like filling the screen with, like, a fireball or whatever, and then, like, Iron Man flies out.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of the abilities are very well animated, so you can see the sort of telltale response of what they're doing. Like, a skilled player can look at the anime. I mean, of course, this goes without saying for all, you know, pro fighters, basically, in video games. But even you and I could see the animation that I was about to do and know I was doing X ability and yeah. what you might have to do in response.
Yeah.
And it felt really good to feel like I was being able to play that game, you know, one step ahead where I can't do that in Guilty Gear or mm-hmm. something like that, you know?
I mean, that's the thing that I was most worried about, really, coming into this game. Would it be just a gimmick? Like, would it be just, you know, we're going to make a new Mortal Kombat, it's going to be over the top, but it's not going to really be a fighting game, you know? It's just going to be a spectacle, basically. Yeah. And it seems deep. Like, we played a bunch of different... We tried to do, you know, a huge amount of combinations, like characters versus different characters, to see how they interact. Because some characters are slower, some are, like, aerial characters. Yeah. There's definitely... There are definitely... balances and like a tier system in there somewhere. We just you know, haven't been able to figure it out completely yet. Do you remember any characters that popped out at you that you liked playing?
You know, at first I really liked Noob Saibot, but again, some of his abilities I couldn't master. I didn't know when to use them and whatnot. Eventually I really dug Smoke, and I really dug Kitana and Jade.
Yeah.
I think were really fun to play.
They were aerial characters, I remember, because they would have that...
Kitana, certainly.
Yeah, she had that fan attack and also the air dash
it was,
attack.
Yeah, it was like a butt bump in the air, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, that's... It's nice because there's so much... And I think in Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, they're very much jump-in games. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of... To get to your opponent and to cover a lot of ground, there's a lot of jumping. And so when you face someone with an air dash... It starts to mess you up, you know. Yeah, it starts to mess with the dynamics of the fight.
And they were a little bit faster than normal, you know. Jax was interesting too. I enjoy getting off. Like, some of them seem to have built-in combos, right? Like Smoke would throw a smoke grenade for lack of a better term that would portal someone above him.
Yeah.
And very few characters have aerial grabs, but Smoke is one of them. So he could port you, jump up, throw you, and set you up for an additional attack down the road. Jax could do similar things. Katana could do similar things, and those are really fun to pull off and relatively easy to pull off for someone who's unfamiliar with fighting games.
It was a very, I mean, like, if once you learn a few ways to do special moves, they kind of translate to other characters.
Yeah.
So it is kind of that Smash Brothers style feel where you can get the basic mechanics down, and then it's really just strategy. Like, what separates, you know, someone that's played for a long time is they start to know situational awareness rather than just, you know, purely combo driven stuff. And, you know, that's nice for me anyway, because it's so hard to dedicate that much time to learning all the characters.
Totally. Yeah.
And it's nice if you have a template, and then you just start learning on it. You just start thinking about technique rather than, you know.
Because, you know, within an hour, I didn't feel like I was playing as a button masher, which is something I would do for a lot of games that are high pace and, you know, complex, like Street Fighter or Guilty Gear or, you know, other fighters in that oeuvre, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the strengths of Mortal Kombat versus Tekken or Soul Calibur, because they introduced combos that are just, you know, dozens and dozens of hits. I always felt like I was rewarded more for just kind of hammering on things rather than, you know, thinking about what are the best five moves I could possibly do right now.
And which of the moves will leave you vulnerable, you know, because some of them are slower at first. Some of them will even leave you slightly stunned afterwards. So if you don't pull it off well, you're even more susceptible to grabs, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's funny. We don't really, I guess it's just because fighting games haven't been popular for a while, but I hadn't played them, you know, and it's a psychological game. Once you're playing against somebody, you kind of get to see what they like to do. Like, the metagame starts up. Like, oh, this person really likes grabbing.
Yeah.
Or this person always follows up with an uppercut.
Yeah. Grabbing,
So, I mean, like, you start to, like, understand how different people use the system as well versus just, you know, versus just, like, watching a huge combo wipe out your health meter.
Yeah.
Which is usually my arcade experience.
So, getting into the nitty-gritty of it, what did you think of the sort of energy mechanic, the X-ray attacks?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I haven't played fighting games for such a long time, but I think this is a pretty standard thing now, that there's a secondary energy meter that will give you, like, a focused, stronger attack or, like, a combo breaker attack. And, I mean, it seems like that's just kind of par for the course as far as fighting games go these days. I think Street Fighter 4 implemented a similar thing. I know Marvel's had it for a long time. Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's good because MK always was a more simplistic system.
Yeah.
Like, even even when it came out, it was simpler than Street Fighter. And so I like that they added something in, because you can break out of combos like that and you can turn the tide. I mean, the X-ray things is what really turns the tide.
Yeah, I mean, because they do massive amounts of damage. Yeah. But, you know, some of them aren't as pulled off as easily as others. You know, mm-hmm. some of them have to be aerial attacks. Some of them can be set up, like Cyber Sub-Zero can freeze someone, and then he's just free to do his power-up.
Just wail on him while they're in prison. And some
of them, they do upwards of, like, 41% of your health in a single attack.
Yeah. But there's a nice give and take, though, because if you... The X-ray attacks, you know, they go into like a stylized animation where you see the internal damage of your opponent while you're hitting them, which I thought was pretty hilarious. And, you know, it's like that, you know, teeth grindingly disgusting, like watching bones shatter and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, it's nice that Mortal Kombat is still able to be over the top gory in 2011, and, you know, it hasn't lost its edge after all this time.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, so there's a give and take, because that X-ray attack will just wipe out your entire meter, so forget about any combo breaking or any enhanced attacks.
Yeah.
And like, when we started getting better at it, we started realizing that, oh, well, you know, I probably shouldn't use my X-ray right now because I'm going to lose this round.
Yeah.
And I can carry over my X-ray to the next round and get, and, you know, do better at it.
Yeah, precisely. Or, you know, one thing is, I think that the X-ray attacks were a little bit too powerful.
Yeah, I would say. Are.
You know, even if they were toned down by maybe 5% of damage or something, it would still be significant, and it would look cool, and it wouldn't lose its edge and importance. There's probably balancing issues that I'm just completely unaware of in, you know, competitive play. But for us, I felt personally, if I mixed my X-ray, I was just plain out of luck, and it was pretty bad.
Mm.
I also think the breakouts could have been a little bit cheaper. It uses two full bars of your energy meter.
Oh yeah,
as opposed to just one.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it stops them from comboing into you and attacks them. Mm-hmm. But I think that the damage disparity between the breakout attack and the full attack is probably too great.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I rarely use the breakout attacks, actually. Yeah. And this is probably just an issue of being such a noob, but I focused really heavily on the X-ray attacks.
Yeah.
And I bet that tournament level players would do a lot more of just the enhanced regular moves and save that meter up a little bit, because you're right. If you miss that X-ray attack and your opponent has it, then not only are you thinking about the moves they're going to do, you're also worried about the finisher that they have in store for you. So you have like basically two things to worry about. Which we got into that situation a lot, but I mean, you know, I think it's good that they put that in there.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. You know, there are some characters that I felt I couldn't pull off their, X-ray attack very easily. And so I would just use their enhanced powers. And sometimes the enhanced powers can really throw someone off their game.
Yeah.
You know, like they're used to you using the same back forward trick, and then all of a sudden it adds a third flare that they are not blocking appropriately, and you know you do significant amount of damage.
And it reminded me a lot of tennis matches, because when you're playing tennis, like if you go down 4 points,
then you do your X-ray attack.
Well, I mean, like a lot of it is like, you know, I'm probably not going to win this game, and it will require more energy and effort to try to battle back in a game that I'm not going to win. So I'm just going to drop this game, save up my energy for when I get my serve back. And so that's the thing. We're like, I'm probably not going to win this round, but I can keep this X-ray and then have a better chance of coming out on top the next round. Like it's a strategic retreat, basically.
Yeah, no, tennis, Mortal Kombat, there's no difference. You realize I will never use tennis as an analogy on this podcast?
That's why I'm here, you know, serving my purpose. Was there anything in the extra modes? Because there was a lot of like kind of bonus round stuff and a lot of like challenge mode stuff. Was there anything in that jumped out at you?
The one that really jumped out at me was the test your luck mode.
Yeah.
And this is a really clever idea. And I guess they apparently just kind of did this on accident, and people really liked it, and it grew into its own mode. But the basic thing is that you get a slot machine style, I think it's four bars of different modifiers to the game.
Yeah.
So you might get Flame Floor, which means that if you stand too long, you'll get attacked by fire.
Yeah.
Or you might get degenerating health or regenerating health.
Remember
or
one headless time, combat. Yeah, the headless combat was pretty amazing.
Or armless combat. Yeah. Right? We just didn't have our arms, which means all of the punches were useless. all of your special powers that used your arms, you couldn't use. Yeah. Right? So like Jax's ultimate or Jax's X-ray couldn't be used because you just can't grab somebody. But someone's, you know, someone else's, like Sonya's, I think, uses her legs. Yeah. Could be used.
Yeah.
That was really fun. Yeah. And every time, you know, the combat wasn't always fair. Sometimes one person would get shafted more than the other.
Yeah.
You know, I remember one mode, you weren't allowed to jump.
Yeah. There was one where I wasn't allowed to jump and you had full special the whole time. So I was like shifting around on the ground, like being pummeled to submission, like special after special after special. Exactly. Like,
But it's so much fun to watch and just see what you get.
Yeah,
you know, I really dug that a lot.
The idea of status effects in a fighting game is something that seems simple after it's done.
Yeah,
but I had never seen it before.
Yeah,
and it was a really clever way of just making a silly game already sillier.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I think the first Mortal Kombat was silly, and they're aware of it. You know, Ed Boon, who worked on the first one, was the lead designer on this one as well, and you know. He knows what he's doing, basically.
Yeah.
He knows the spirit of the game because he's the one who made it. And this is completely within that spirit of the game.
Yeah.
It felt really good to me. I mean, the Challenge Tower as well has some of the same silliness.
Yeah.
You know, you play the cup gambling game with severed heads and an eyeball.
Yeah. and there's that Challenge Tower that you were talking about. There's, what, 300 challenges or something like that? So it's something... And, you know, we didn't do them all, but they are... They're silly, but they also teach you certain things about the game as far as, you know, there's one where Striker who has the grenades and you have to throw the grenades into a moving basket. It's like a carnival thing or something
like
that.
Yeah, like a flaming bucket or something. Yeah.
But that would have been really useful when I was playing Striker and I had to know what the range was on my grenade.
Exactly, yeah. You learn the distance because you're forced to learn the distance in that scenario. Definitely. And, you know, the tutorials I thought were relatively good as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know at a certain point, because, you know, the main attraction is the fatalities, right? So, at a certain point, you just, like, fire up the fatality teaching mode and go through, you know, how to do it, which I am terrible at. After all these years, I am terrible at pulling off fatalities. I don't know what it is.
I'm bad. I mean, I am bad as well. Did you see that Penny Arcade comment? I mean, slight segue, but...
Oh, yeah. The, I forget what game they were even playing.
It was Mortal Kombat. It was like, you know the ability, and you still can't pull it off.
Yeah.
And you just kind of slap them.
And it feels like, if something cool is happening, I am most likely not involved.
Exactly.
Like, did you mean to do that? Well, no, but it does look cool.
I think the secret is picking characters with really easy...
Easy. Anything that just is like back, forward, punch.
Yeah, from a screen distance away, where you can't accidentally tap them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing about Mortal Kombat, like, when we were playing it, there was usually at least a couple other people in the room. Right. Like, it's an entertaining game to play with a group of people.
Right.
I mean, you get that arcade experience because everyone wants to see, even people that say that they're grossed out by it, are morbidly curious as to, like, what the next thing is going to look like.
Like, one of our housemates would be like, ew, that's disgusting. Now, what does that one do?
Yeah.
Like, what does that guy do?
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's so gross. He has knives coming out of his head. No, use him next time. Use him next time. Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah. What did you think of the storyline?
Yeah,
the story mode.
I remember we were pushing through the story mode as fast as possible because we thought it was going to be this like little throwaway thing.
Yeah,
it ended up being like 8 hours or something.
Yeah, it's
like
ridiculous. It's really long.
I mean, I know we're being really nice to the game, but. I mean, I think it was probably the best story mode in a fighting game I've ever played.
I think this is exactly... If anyone wants to do story modes in a fighting game, this is probably how it should be done. Because it's fluid segues between the...
I mean, it's basically like a long movie and the breaks...
Yeah, cutscenes. That's the word I was like.
Yeah, like the breaks are fighting.
Yeah, it just goes right into combat.
Yeah.
And even, like, the taunts will be played into the cutscenes.
Yeah, they do really clever things about, like, obviously they're loading the next fight while the cutscene is going, so there's no, you know, it's that kind of, that thing that the really talented designers are doing these days. Like, it kind of reminds me of Uncharted, where there's no loading screens.
Yeah.
And so it's, you're just kind of watching this whole thing this whole ridiculous story of Mortal Kombat. My God. We did some Wikipedia research to try to find the, like, what the deal is with Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah, there's layers of stupid.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, it's continuous. Like, this Mortal Kombat, like, the Mortal Kombats are not discrete episodes. Like, yeah. It is one narrative that has been the same since 1992.
Yep.
Anyway, the point is that the story is told really fluidly, and also you take control of different characters organically. You don't have to like play through the story mode a million times with every character to see what the game has for you.
And it's not pretending to be anything that it's not, right?
Yeah.
Like, of course the story's not going to be interactive. You're playing a fighting game.
Yeah.
They don't want it to be that way. This is just a way to tell their silly lore while you're doing this sort of normal, you know, tower ladder ranked sort of matches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, also, it was designed in such a way that you play each of the characters in the game maybe about four or five times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And
against different opponents.
Against different opponents, yeah. Sometimes against two attack team opponents. And it did a really good job of sort of forcing you to learn all of their abilities. You know, I felt comfortable with a couple of cheap characters before I played the story mode.
Mm-hmm.
And then after playing five rounds with Katana and five rounds with Jax, I felt much more comfortable using those characters because I was required to learn them on my own, at my own pace. You know, it was slightly different than playing in a versus mode where I can go and kind of practice.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you're right, like being forced to kind of step outside of your Scorpion comfort zone is like, is a valuable thing because, you know, you start in fighting games, it's really like you're only using like 1/16th of the game or something because you stick with like one or two characters the whole time.
And one or two abilities, you know, being forced to play five times in a row means that you're learning which of your abilities chain together well.
Yeah.
In versus, right, when you and I are first picking up the game, I'm just switching between characters. Who has the cheapest moves I can use and I can exploit? Or, you know, what are the quick different abilities that are useful by themselves?
Yeah.
Not how does the character's options fit together as a system that you're kind of forced to learn in the story mode.
Mm-hmm. All that being said, it was pretty hilarious that some things never change. Like, the bosses in Mortal Kombat are the cheapest. God, they are the most enraging things to play. Like, that battle where we had to fight Goro and whatever other
Kintaro or something,
God, I really did have flashbacks to the old days where you had to, like, fight that guy. And their attacks do way more damage than you do.
Yeah, and they're, like, immune to grabs.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's not making the game harder because of technique. It's literally just bumping up the stats.
Yeah, I mean, Shao Kahn, the final battle, the guy takes about half as much damage as anybody else in the game and deals twice as much. The only way we beat him, really, is because he keeps taunting you and he's susceptible to ranged attacks.
Yeah.
So we just spam that over and over and over again.
I mean, it's stupid, but I have a hard time getting too angry at it because that's pretty much exactly what I expect from Mortal Kombat.
Right.
Like, when you are playing against the computer in Mortal Kombat, like, be prepared for just cheap-ass shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, there it goes. Like, it's kind of nice. It's kind of comforting to know that still exists.
Yeah, that kind of sums up my thoughts on the game entirely, right? It's what you've come to expect. It's misogynist, you know? It is
violent as hell.
It's gory. It's over the top. It's silly. The story is badly written.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what Mortal Kombat 1 was.
Yeah.
And if you're into that, then it's a really satisfying experience.
Yeah.
You know, both from nostalgia's point of view and just as a good fighting game.
It's rare to have a camp experience in video games on purpose.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to describe it.
But, I mean, like, yeah, it's great to have it back. Of course, you know, we didn't do any spoiler section for Mortal Kombat. Spoiler alert, you fight a lot of dudes. but the ending hints at another Mortal Kombat that they're going to make, which is interesting to me. I don't know how much more you need right away. You know, like, this seems like a very excellent Mortal Kombat game.
Like, we can wait 10 years.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what else you'd want to do. Would you really want to fall into that trap of, like, Street Fighter? Street Fighter 4 has, like, already released, like, Street Fighter 4 Ultimate, Street Fighter 4 Turbo Ultimate Edition. Like, it gets kind of weird after a while.
I mean, you know, the formula that they have now works, right? I think, to some extent, this is the proving ground, what they've developed in terms of the fighting mechanics and all that fit really nicely together. So I could see them adding characters and not really having a problem with it. Yeah. We know they're already doing it with some DLC that'll be released in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Were you surprised that there was no Xbox 360
exclusive
character? That seems like a weird.
Master Chief would have fit really nicely in
there. I am shocked that there's no Gears of War character.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
I mean, like, there must have been something. There must have been some legal issues or contractual thing. Because, like, I mean, how could you not have, like, Marcus or Coltrane in Mortal Kombat?
Plus, it would be good timing to advertise for Gears 3.
Yeah. I mean, if there's going to be DLC coming, I would not be surprised at all if there was. I mean, Lancer fatalities, that's already, like, built in, like, the game plays itself. But, I mean, I'll be interested to see what the DLC is like coming out of it.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, they didn't cover all of the missed characters. So I do think that there's some room, especially for just character growth.
Especially for people that are, like, really into Mortal Kombat. I'm sure there's someone yelling at their iPod right now, like, oh, I can't believe they missed out on, you know, the Dragon Warrior from MK4 Armageddon.
Or, like, I really wanted to play that Manticore-looking dude, you know, with the horse,
that weird, like, from Centaur Outworld.
Yeah, it's like a Centaur-Manticore thing. Centicore.
Well, maybe if we wait another 10 years, we can fight two of them at the last boss of MK22. Yeah. Well, is that it? Shall we pull a fatality on this podcast?
I think we should finish it.
If you folks want to write in your thoughts, suggestions, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
We also love to hear your comments to this podcast or any of our posts. We update the site, experiencepoints.net, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings, so come on by and share your thoughts.
All right. Until next time, take it easy. Bye.